All right, how's everybody?
Amen.
My name is Minister Lyle Kelsall. My verse would be Psalms 105 and 15. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And I came up with that this week because some things going on. I look back at my life and I remember coming into church and stuff, because I'm 59 years old. I'm not a first-time winner to this program, nor am I a first-time winner to being a Christian. Been in and out of church for so long. And I can remember sitting back and always have something that's bad to say about the men and women of God. See, because any time their program didn't go along with my program, then something was wrong with them. You know, every time I wanted to get back on my own foolishness and nobody would co-sign me, or nobody would back me up, or nobody would enable me, so they always had bad things to say. And as I look back at my life and understanding the Word of God today, I understand that put a lot of curses and a lot of things in my life that weren't pleasant. There comes consequences with that. You know, and just in the last month, you know, I'm a mentor in the court with Marvin and Donnie, Kayvon, and someone who was going through this program at one time hit me on my messenger about a year ago and asked me, hey, can you get me some Percocets? And I thought, why are you asking me that? First off, you know, and this person was in a recovery house at the time. And she's in a recovery house where my sister is the pastor. And so I'm thinking to myself, why would you ask me this? First off, you've never known me to deal with that even when I was in the world. And now you know my lifestyle today. And we don't even run the same circle. So she kept going on. So I called my sister. And I said, hey, I don't want to get this person in any trouble. I said, but they're struggling. I said, what you're doing is not enough. You need to give her some more attention because something is going on. I said, because if she's reached out to me, that means she's reached out to everybody in her immediate circle. You know? So about 2 weeks ago, I mean, girls, they talked to her and stuff, and she got mad and called me a bunch of names. Okay, that's okay, because I wasn't here to get in trouble. I'm a man of God. I'm not here to co-sign anybody's foolishness. I'm not here to enable you to get high. You're not going to use your money and get high and use my money to eat on. That's not the way that works. It's not the way it works. You know, I mean, I'll feed anybody. I'm a part of the misfits and we go out. But if you got a job and you're taking your money and getting high, you're not going to take mine to eat on. That's just that you made a choice. But let's go back. She, same girl, messaged me 2 weeks ago. Hey, can you get me some hard? Hard is crack for people who don't know the lingo. And I'm thinking, I ignored that. I ignored that. I didn't even bother to dignify with an answer because she's no longer in the halfway house. She's on the streets, but I didn't dignify that with an answer. So I'm at work and I stopped at lunch at a gas station and I see her. And she comes to my car and wants to proposition me to have sex with her for a few dollars. I threw my hands up. I said, hey, don't you understand? I don't live like that anymore. That's not the person I am anymore. So that guy died years ago. So she began to call me all kind of names. You know, there would have been a time in my life, because I was a physical person, and there would have been a time in my life I might have got out and snatched a kink in her. But being a man of God, you know, I have to understand there's a different way now. So I began to drive my car off, and she's screaming, I'll fix you, I'll fix you. So I go home that night, and I'm laying in the bed. My sister calls me, my baby sister, that's never been in the world, you know, went to college, basketball scholarships and all that. And she says, hey, Lyle, do you know this person? I said, yeah, but how do you know her? You know, she said, have you looked on Facebook, Lyle? She's putting all kinds of stuff. So I look on my Facebook and I showed Marvin some of the stuff and she just went on and on and on. I screenshot some of it just so I could save it, you know, and so I blocked her off my Facebook page. You know, first, you know, I work in the court, so I thought I'd go in there and take this to the prosecutor. This was my first thing. I had to begin to think about some things. This person's hurting. This person's lost. This person's struggling. I was in the court with Marvin as he was standing with Kayvon on the wall, and a young man that used to come to the circle looked at him, and he was in orange and shackled and chains, and he looked at him and said, "Hey, it's your fault, you know." And me, I've been a protector all my life. You know, Marvin's like a brother to me, and I want to say something. But God always, he shuts my mouth because that person's hurting. That person's struggling. There's things going on inside that person. I'm with the Misfits, with Donnie Foster. We go out and we feed the homeless on Sundays. And we're out last week, and there was a guy, you know, a little bustle to him. He's real mad, and he's real angry, and he's talking about somebody. And I try to talk to him for a minute, but I just kind of, let's let him have his way. Let him have his space. And as we leave, Donnie says, "Okay, everybody, all the Misfits, roll out." So I had stuff. I was parked in front, so I rolled out and stuff. And I wonder what took Donnie so long to get there. The guy had pulled him to the side and cornered him off, you know. Said, "I hate you. This is this and this and this." And my first thought, because sometimes, even being a man of God, sometimes the old way of thinking comes back quick. My first thought, I wish I had been there. You know, I wish I had been there. What good would it have been there if I'd have done the wrong thing? What good would it have been there if I'd have done the wrong thing? Men and women of God, first off, the Bible says, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm." There's not a mentor in this room that wants to see anybody go to prison. There's not a mentor in this room who gets paid to be here. There's not a mentor in this room who doesn't put money out of their pocket and give of their time and give of their substance so somebody can have a better way of life. We're not going to always agree in your mess. When the addiction is talking, see, I was a dope fiend for so long, I know when the addiction's talking. See, I can hear when the addiction's coming out of you. When a person is talking to me and it's the addiction talking, I'm not confused. I know what it is. But I'm mature enough in Christ to be patient and let you get this game out, and then say, "Hey, I tell you what, let's do it like this." You know what I mean? And most of the time, when it's the addiction talking, you don't want to do it like this. And I said, "Well, that's the only way I'm going to do it. I don't want to be any part of it in any other way." But there comes a consequence when you sit and put your mouth on the man of God. I'm going to read quickly because we don't have a lot of time tonight. And I'm glad because some people needed to say some things tonight, and I'm glad they did. I'm really glad. This is the place where you dump the garbage. This is the place where you bring it. This isn't a place to come here and lie and say, "I'm doing good and I'm hurting." There's no place. This isn't a place where you come and pretend, because we're not going to say, "Oh, look, she's doing good. Look, he's doing good." We'd love to see that. But if you're not doing good, you just got to be honest. Because we were all there. I did 20 years in prison. I've been shot in the head. I was a dope fiend for 25 years. I was out there. You know, I was out there. So, I mean, and I know what it's like, big as I am, to be afraid and not be able to tell anybody. I know what it's like, as physical as I was, to be hurting and not be able to tell somebody. So you don't have to come in here and pretend. I mean, some days things are going good, and that's great. But this is where you leave the garbage. But I just want to read real quick. This is Numbers, 12th chapter. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." Moses was God's man. Moses, you know, I envy the relationship Moses had with God. If you read that story and never read the story of Moses, I envy that relationship, man. But here's two people who looked at Moses and they didn't feel Moses was doing things the way they wanted it. Moses was making decisions outside of what they felt. And they began to talk about Moses. It said that Miriam and Aaron, this is his sister and his brother, spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath not he spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. See, one thing I've learned, the battle's not mine. That girl that said what she said about me, I pray for her every day. You know why I pray for her? Because God loves me. And the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you, because if I don't pray for her, God will tear her up. I got to pray for her because I love her. And I understand that that's not even her talking. I have to get out of myself and understand that I'm a servant of God and I can't share in the glory without sharing in the suffering. So I pray for her. But let's see what God says. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye there unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Man, Lord, tell me, I speak to you in visions. Miriam, Aaron, I speak to you in dreams. I can only imagine at that point they think they're about to get some kind of reward. They stick their chest out. You know, I'm proud. I can only imagine. I'm paraphrasing. They're just sticking out now. Yeah, he's getting ready to give me some kind of acclimation, because I know that God speaks to us too. Moses doesn't have to be the one in charge. It can be us. This is the attitude they have. But God says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. So I come to you in a dream as I talk to this dude face to face. See, the pastor over here has been letting us come in this church a long time. And she says something. Every time I see him, he's always working and cleaning up. That's a man of God. This is a servant of God. When you call to be the man of God, you call to serve. You know, you're not called to rule anything. You're called to be a servant. You're called to be a door, a conduit to help somebody get out. You're called to show somebody the way. And people say things, and my first thought sometimes, and they're going to say it about you. Because you're not going to always be on house arrest. You're not going to always be on an ankle brace. You're not going to always be caught up. It's going to be a time God's going to bring you into your calling. He's going to bring you to the place. And the people are going to say all manners of things against you. And you're going to want to fight. You're going to want to talk crazy. I was the first seed of the Black Gangster Disciples when I was in prison even. Nobody talked to me crazy. I once whooped a guy about a pitcher of juice. That's how prideful I was. That's how prideful I was. The guy was on the head count with me. And I was the head, the first seed. And he walked by and he had a thing of peach drink. And I had all these boxes because I ran I was the leader of the Black Gangster Disciples. I had all these boxes with all this food and all this stuff in it. And I asked the guy, about big guy too. I asked him, hey man, you want to trade that? And he said, no, I'm cool. So I let that go when I was walking by. But I didn't get two steps when he told his bunkie, hey man, I'll give it to you. And if you want to trade it, you can trade it to him. And the pride of the world, the way I carried myself, I stopped. And I turned around and said, what did you say? I said, what did you say? He said, I'll give it to him. He can sell it to you. I said, do you know who I am? This is the pride I live over a $2 thing of juice. I said, do you know who I am? And then he said, yeah, man, but I'm trying to be sucker free. I hit him so hard. It just echoed through the dorm. And I jumped on him, because when I hit him, he screamed. And I jumped on him and went to choking him. And when they called the Black Gangster, I didn't get caught by the police, but when the Black Gangster Disciples got together and they called the board, meaning, because I'm the first seed, why did you jump on him? I said, first off, I'm the first seed of this organization. Don't nobody disrespect me. Nobody in this race is going to disrespect me. That was the way I lived. I said, second off, I choked him, because he's supposed to be a Black Gangster Disciple. When I slapped him, he didn't fight back. He screamed like a girl. But I look back at that, and I'm not saying that because that's not how, that was the belief I had from the streets is what I learned. That was what I was taught. See, when God got in my life, he turned all that around. He turned all that around. When this girl started talking crazy to me, and my brother called me in the room and said, look, man, you see this? I said, yeah, I saw it, man. I said, I was the blocked out. He said, man, you're taking that awful calm. See, because my brother knew. He knew I'd have kicked the hinges off the door. That was the person I used to be. He knew that I ran with guys who would ride with me to kick the hinges off this door. I said, man, I said, Lance, I don't do that no more, man. And you know what made me feel good to be able to tell my baby brother, I don't do that no more, man. It made me feel good for him to see me do something other than be an idiot because of what somebody had to say about me. You know, I don't come here so somebody can pat me on the back. You know, I work at a wood lot, and I split logs all day, and I'm an old man. But you know what? I could easily for me to go lay home or go with her somewhere, and we go out to eat or enjoy the evening. But I come because I know what it's like to be hurting. See, you can't make me mad enough not to come in here because I understand. But I'm trying to help somebody. When you begin to talk against the man of God, because this, you know what? So here's the reality of this. Here's the reality. Here's a sad truth, Pastor. Somebody's going to hear the message tonight and still go back to yesterday. And they're going to blame Ben. They're going to blame Marvin. They're going to blame the pastor. They're going to blame Lyle. They're going to blame Donnie because they didn't do it right. They're going to blame Victor because he wouldn't let me sneak out at night at the potter's house. They're going to blame the man, the case manager, because they were on my back. They're going to blame someone else. That's the reality of the situation. But here's the hope shot. The hope shot is it don't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you. The day I gave my life to God, May 21st, 2011, I haven't looked back. I haven't looked back. Just like the young lady, and I understand you, I feel what you're saying. I thought, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I need to be around. But you know what God told me? You got me. I cried for 3 days when God saved me. I cried. I turned myself into the jail because I was already wanted for some things. And I went down there and sat in the bullpen. The leader of the Black Gangster Disciples sat on that bench and I cried like a baby for 3 days because my mind was made up. I had to get to a point in my life where I exhausted every excuse to use. My mother just had her 83rd birthday on the 4th. And she called me the day before I came and told me, baby, I've been in bed all day. I'm not feeling well. And if my mama passes away, I'm not going to use. It would have been a time if a doctor told me I got cancer. That would have been enough for me to go get hired. A doctor told me last year in October, you've got prostate cancer. But I wasn't going to use because I had got to a point where I exhausted every excuse. If my woman leave me, I'll do it by myself. Because if she leave me, she wasn't mine. See, sometimes I had to trust God to bring the woman that I want in my life. Because I'll pick anything. But I have to let God pick my wife for me. But before God picks a wife for me, I have to let him make me a husband. What do I look like having a wife and I can't even take care of me? I'm sleeping on somebody's couch, but I'm talking about taking somebody's daughter in for a wife. All I'm doing now is bringing frustration into my life because I'm not ready. And just because God says not now doesn't mean not never. I'm 59 years old. And you know what? I'm a bit husky. I'm a bit pudgy. I'm bald headed. I got two fake teeth right there in the front. And somebody said, well, you might want to lose a little weight. You might want to know. No. See, because I understand that somewhere out there, there's a woman who wants looking for a fat guy with a bald head and too many teeth. And she's going to love him to death. And I'm going to love her. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. And that's what I began to understand. But I have to stand on some truth. I'm a different kind of a preacher because I talk about things that held me hostage. I talk about the things they don't say across the pulpit because they think you're supposed to be past that. But I'm not. I wasn't past that. I had to learn to quit putting the blame on other people. I had to learn to quit talking about other people. I had to learn. This is my favorite story that I'm going to close. There's a man named Hezekiah the king. Had gotten sick. And God sent Isaiah the prophet to him. He said, you go tell him. put your house in order, because this sickness is unto death. And the Bible says, Isaiah went and began to talk to Hezekiah the king. He said, put your house in order, because the Lord says this sickness is unto death. But you know what? This is what I really love. When Isaiah walked out the room, Hezekiah didn't call for him, hold on, stay there with me. Here, hold my hand. He didn't say, call the doctor. He didn't say, get me to the emergency room. He didn't say, God, forgive me. What he was able to do, the Bible says he turned to the wall and said, haven't I always done right by you with the truth in my heart? Haven't I always followed you and done the right thing? Who has that testimony? That's the testimony I want in my life tonight, that when, if and when that call comes for me, I can turn to the walls and God, haven't I done right? Haven't I done what you asked me? Haven't I been there like you needed me to be? And all those things. And so the Bible says before Isaiah could get out the courtyard, God called him. He said, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. I heard my boy. He said, I heard my child. He said, turn around. He said, turn around. Go back in there and tell him. I've added 15 years to his life. All it takes is have a made up mind and be real about it. You be real, God will be real. It's nobody's fault. My life, I'm in the position I'm in because I made some dumb decisions. I'm going to tell you this. Because of the decisions I made yesterday, I've got a past. But because of the decisions, because Jesus lives, I have a future. And that's what it is for each and every one of you. Stop hanging on and blaming other people. Understand where you are. Be real about where you are. It's nobody's fault you where you are. It's nobody. These men, any day, Marvin can say, you know what? I've been going here for years. I'm retiring. But if Marvin doesn't go on, if Marvin doesn't come back another night, you've got to know that God is the one. You've got to know your relationship is with God and that you have to stand on all God's promises. You got to call him, because God is no respecter of persons. The same thing he did for me, he'll do for you. Like I said, I have 25-year drug addiction. I wasn't no dope, baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. When I say a dope fiend, a person capable of doing anything to anybody at any time, given the right set of circumstances. But today I walk with God. Today I go where God sends me. It's been since March 21st, 2011. I haven't looked back. And since that day, I don't know a hungry day. Since that day, I'm not sitting, there's no warrants for my arrest. I got a court order. I can take my phone into the courthouse. They called me this few months ago to have lunch with the attorney general and the mayor and all these people to talk about trying to fix the problems on the street. The old dope fiend like me, you tell me God won't do it. The mayor's office called me today and said, hold on, we don't want you. They said, we don't want you just to walk. We've elevated you. We want you to be a team leader out there on the streets. We're going to lean on you. 21 Alive called me just last week. Corinne Rose said, we need to talk to you, Lyle Calsaw. We need you to come down and have put it on. But it ain't about me. It's about what God will do in your life when you make up your mind and call it what it is. The Bible says this. You take this with you and I love you. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's pray.